Yo, this is the Real Relationship Report, and I'm speaking on things that you would ask yourself to remind yourself why you're choosing that person, why you chose that person in the first place, that'll keep you in the relationship and keep you focused on the relationship and not leaving the relationship prematurely because things are not going your way. So if that's something that you've done or something that you do, this is the episode for you. So just continue to play it.
Oh man. All right. Episode two. It's a quickie. Straight to the point. See the topic. All right. So, why did we choose each other in the first place? All right. So, I chose this topic because I think this is what people got to think about when people piss them off in a relationship. Or when they might be bored, or they might think the grass is greener somewhere else. You have to mentally remind yourself of what you invested, what your goal is, who that person is, are the cons outweighing the pros, are the pros outweighing the cons, okay? If it's a fling, you have to understand what a fling is. Was it just a good night? Did y'all stimulate each other mentally, not just physically? And does that person bring the best out of you or the worst? Because that's a whole nother thing. And these are all mind questions you should be asking yourself. Some people ask themselves this monthly, sometimes weekly. Sometimes after like the honeymoon stage of the relationship, where after y'all get married and y'all settled in, and it's not always the best moods or the best tension around, is how you kind of like balance yourself in the relationship. And I think it's healthy to do. Because I think outside shit can give you the illusion that it's easier or it's better or there's more opportunity or somebody can do something you want faster or just more value is outside than what you invested. Lately, there's been a lot of people online regretting breakups or regretting divorces or regretting calling off engagement. And I was like, I wonder if they kind of like talked to themselves before they made certain decisions. And so I think it's very important for you to reassess why y'all are together with some simple things. So I could 10 things I would ask for myself of being in a relationship with somebody before I'm just like, no, it's not worth it, or maybe I didn't really want this like I thought I did, or before I make a stupid decision or a decision that I think is smart, let me ask myself these things. Have you ever been in a relationship where you're questioning a move before you do it?
I mean, a move before I do
Yes.
it, not in winning a relationship, no.
Okay.
I think about that a lot more in dating.
Okay.
Because you don't know that person, you're trying to learn them, so you have to think of how they may react to that, move or decision that you're making, as opposed to your spouse, where like they accept you for the most part, and you know what they think is acceptable. You know what I mean? And what they expect from you. So, other than that, but in a relationship, I'm not going to be in a relationship where I have to walk on, and like I'm walking on a on shelves or whatever and not be myself, because you always have a problem. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely different.
Before you ended relationships, did you have questions that you ask yourself before you made that decision?
Yes, that's when, yes, of course. Especially contingent upon how long we've been together, you know. Okay. Now, I will say this. After I get in my next relationship, if I'm having any thoughts about ending it, mm-hmm. I will replay how pathetic things are out here now.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, nah, you know, like, unless it's drastic, which the ending of my last one was, I'm just going to put up with it. Because the way people out here acting now, like, it's not a trend or a joke. People are pathetic and bad out here now. It's almost like the last of nothing is left. The last of nothing is what's out here, and it's disgusting.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, you should think on both. Mm-hmm. I mean, but you should definitely think before you do the breakup, because coming back out to this, good God.
So while you were explaining that, I was thinking, when people been with somebody for a long time, and let's say they get married, do you think the person who's second guessing the relationship for whatever reason feels like, this person's really for me, so if I do this thing that I want to do or I have an urge for right now, even if they find out, I know they're willing to forgive me and stick around. Do you think people take more advantage of people who they feel like love them regardless of the cons? Do they respect them more, or would they respect them less?
You know what? I think people aren't smart enough to even think about all that. I think a lot of people are instinctual now and just do what they want. I don't really think they're thinking like that deeply into it. It's like, you'll love me regardless, so I'll just keep doing this. I think both parties are stupid, and they're both not good at acknowledging red flags or judging people, and they just stay together. I really don't even think that they're, one of them is trying to take advantage of the other, because I don't think people are that intelligent. That's why they're dismantling the Department of Education. They want to keep making less and less intelligent people, so people like Trump can come around and do what they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So I don't think, I mean, it would make sense to try and take advantage of someone who you know, was like willing to take you back, you know, rain, sleet, hail, or snow. But mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people are just like, I'm just going to do what I want because I deserve this. You know what I mean? And then they do it. Then they're like, oh, well, I don't want to be alone, so I'm going to keep forgiving you. Like, I feel like that they're both dumb. You know, you see what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that's the way it goes, as opposed to somebody really sitting up trying to screw somebody over. I really feel like they're both just dummies. And that's, and they just prolong the inevitable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. Yeah, I just feel like I would respect a man more if he gave me a boundary and stuck to it.
Like, as you should.
Yeah, like if you tell me a boundary and I talk and it's really disrespectful and I blatantly did it and you're just like, we could work on it, I'm just like, oh, so you have no backbone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, I would rather you be like, this is a no for me, you know, I'm good. And I'm just like, okay, standards, a person of boundaries. But I don't know. I think some people are just, they don't have any faith in something better, or they don't think it's worth the effort. And they're just like, okay, this is your con. I've done X, Y, and Z, or I had these experiences. I'll just deal with this. It's not that bad.
Uh-huh.
I just don't want to get to a point where I'm just so exhausted from trying that I'm just settling for
anything just because I'm just like, well, the other option is me being single, or the other option is me dealing with something I don't know. So I'm just deal with this. Because I feel like the more you deal with something that you know you don't like, and the other person knows that you don't like, the more they're going to want to do it and play with you.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I almost feel like if you're at the exhausted point, it's probably time for you to move the hell on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you're probably not going to come back from that without a lot of therapy and conversation. And the reason you're at that point is because you probably haven't been having the conversation you need to have, or your partner is super stubborn and not doing what they need to do. So it's like, all right, you know, maybe it's time. Maybe this relationship, as they say, has run its course.
Yeah. For me, it's the respect part. Like, if I can't respect you, it's just a turn off.
I don't, where do women, besides a man, now, a man not doing what he's supposed to do, I get. So a man not doing what he's supposed to do, I understand a woman not respecting. Where do y'all get not respecting men who are doing what they're supposed to do? What makes y'all think that that's a smart decision?
I don't know nothing about that. I think any woman with a man that's quote unquote doing what he's supposed to do and making sure she's comfortable and she's protected and she's cared for, and they're still just outside doing outlandish shit, that was the plan from the jump. Most women who deal with men like that, they're looking for somebody to fund the shit that they want to do so they can meet the person that they actually want doing the shit that you're funding. It's not about, you know, giving that man that's allowing it the utmost. It's a leapfrog type thing. Like, I'm gonna be here at this stage, so this could be like the new standard. And then when I see somebody doing better than the person here, then I'll leap from here to there. It's not about respect. Because I could be on the outside looking in on a relationship. I'm just like, okay, you are cared for, you're comfortable, they respect you, they respect your parents, you know, there's nothing toxic going on in the relationship. You have what you need. They do for you. They show up for you. What's the problem? And in their eyes, they can point out all the problems. But once it gets close to like, okay, I think this relationship's over, then they're just like, now I got to do this for myself. Now I got to start back from this. And then that's when they start realizing, oh, you were actually a benefit for me.
So sad.
It is sad, but it happens to men and women.
Yeah, it definitely does.
But only when you get in a relationship to use somebody and not be genuine in it does that happen. I think when you're genuinely in a relationship and it gets to a point where it ends, there's no need for like the rah-rah or the breaking shit or just like the toxic shit popping up at their job, being disrespectful to their family. It's none of that, because if you got all that energy, you know you're in the wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Did right by a person, they're usually the calmest person in the breakup. If you ever notice.
Yeah, that's true.
The person that's always loud about it or making a Facebook post or doing this and doing that. Oh, you're suffering for no accountability. It is leaking out. It's oozing out. And that's what that is. But yeah, people know. So my first thing on my list, so I like to make lists, is you probably chose the person that you're with because visually, you have to be honest, because people be like, you know, you don't judge a book by its cover. Yes, you do, if you don't know shit about a person. Visually, the person probably carried themselves with an attractive confidence.
Yeah.
Me personally, when I see men being super flashy with like a lot of name brands and labels,
in my mind, I'm just like, oh, he's very insecure. Like, he needs somebody to know he can afford these things and what these things are. Right? A woman that's revealing her chest or her ass or, you know, has to be the loudest in the room or has to wear the most obnoxious jewelry or something loud. Oh, she's insecure. She needs somebody to see her. She needs somebody to have to say something. She has to have the attention. She doesn't know how to be in the room and get grace that way. So to me, it's kind of like if a person needs to be like the loudest car on the street or be the loudest one at the table or make a scene. It's just like, why do you feel like you have to be seen so bad or you have to be heard so bad? Why can't you just be here?
Just be.
Yes. Because if you're beautiful, people are going to see you. If you're handsome, people are going to see you. If you're going to hear that. If you're graceful, people are going to approach you a certain way or feel like, oh, I can't walk up to this person. Look how I'm dressed. Or I feel like I can't say this to this person in this way. I have to find a different way of speaking to this person. Like the way that you carry yourself and the confidence that you have, it does have a deciding factor on how people treat you.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people don't like to hear that because they feel like, oh, that's a negative thing. No, it's real shit. Like I'll talk to my kids all the time. If I'm in a store and I turn one of the aisles and you don't see me, who are you going to walk up to ask for help? They have to judge people by what they look like. Adults do it all day. So it does, when you're meeting a person and what made you, you know, want to be with them or choose them in the first place, it is going to be your appearance and your confidence, in my opinion.
That's facts.
Okay. The second thing I got is whatever that person wants out of life blends well together with the shit that you want.
Uh-huh.
Which is why I have a hard time understanding why a professional football player or a professional basketball player will go for the girl who has no goals, is not doing for herself, wants to look a certain way, wants to go all these places, but they don't see, okay, how are you going to keep yourself busy when I'm not around? What is going to keep your interest when I'm not around? Are you here just to look a certain way next to me, and how long will you do that?
I mean, you're here for the lifestyle.
But that's the thing. If you approach a woman and you get to know her and there's nothing to her but looks, why would you feel like that person will have your best interest later on?
You feel like that person is going to cheat on you or do their own thing.
So, I feel like it's a stupid setup. I would rather, as a professional player or someone in a profession, be with somebody like-minded that has something that they're aiming for also.
Mm-hmm.
Because the worst thing I think you can do when you have goals and things you want to accomplish and a different type of light under your ass in life is to get with someone who doesn't want to do anything. Because what do you talk about? If you're venting or you're trying to create something or you're working on a project, what feedback are you getting from them?
Yeah, I feel like
they're too nonchalant.
Yeah, you try to start a business. Yeah, you're right. And we're like, yeah, just do it. I don't have any game plan to help you. I don't know how to do what you're talking about.
You're playing shit. But, you know, a lot of people run into that where you don't have somebody that respects a grind or you don't have somebody that respects the fact that you do have a plan to have a certain life that takes work. And the things you might want in life, it can't happen right now. It might not happen here.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this show and enjoy this episode. I know I'm dropping gems for y'all. I know I am, because that's just what I do. I appreciate every listen and every download and every share. So if you see me clipping on social media, share that shit, because I appreciate it. Speaking of sharing, not only are you supporting this podcast, but you're supporting all the other podcasts that I do that can be found on shambipodden.com. That is a website where I put everything that I'm working on, whether it's books, whether it's merch, whether it's links to support me or support the people who support me. It can be found on that website. Also, there is a monthly, I want to say it's like a newsletter, but it's not really a newsletter because I'm not emailing y'all with y'all spam emails that y'all don't even check anyway. But if you want any updates regarding podcasting tips or what I have going on, every month I give a updated, detailed what's going on with me info on that website. I also blog on that website, so I might create different articles on that website. Sharing those links helps support me. So if you're looking to support me, do that. I also do other podcasts that can be found on there. Each podcast has their own page. I am working on a lot of other collaborations this year, and you can find me on some people's live shows this year. You know, just staying busy, Shambi Podden, okay? You can email me about business, okay? My email can be found on that website, because I know how some people get, okay? I am here to create and to share knowledge. That is what I do. Everyone around me is great. Therefore, if you listen to me, you are searching for greatness, and I appreciate you. I hope you enjoy the show, and don't forget to follow me, add me, and check out Shannon Pods on YouTube. Sometimes I do video record my episodes, but not all the time, because I'm just not that girl. My audience is not on YouTube, but I know some people like the YouTube spaces. But back to the show.
But does that person have enough respect for you or faith in you to be beside you while you worked for these things? A lot of people find maybe you're very driven, you're very respectful what you want to do, you're motivated, but you can only be self-motivated to a certain point. And then you have to have people around you that pour into you so you stay on track and you stay focused and you don't second guess what you said you wanted to do.
Yeah.
So that's why that's my second thing. You got a message.
My question always goes, why did we choose each other in the first place? The question is, like I always say, you always gotta just choose the white. Because you don't have to ask those questions about anything. About the bullshit in the first place, blah, blah, blah. It's white. It's always right. And you don't get no arguments. You don't get no blah, blah, blah. We know what it is. They know their place. And just, we shut the fuck up. Love the white people, girls.
Every episode.
Well, at least we know what he's after. We know what his preference is.
You know what's so crazy? I got some brothers that think that's a real theory.
Listen, it's not a real theory because them white women know what they're doing. Don't. Brothers, don't sit here for a second and think that you are enslaving a white woman. Reverse slavery is not happening. If that white woman is choosing to be with you, there's an ulterior motive, unless you are a successful black man and you taking care of her. Like, the days that I'm looking for black dick shit for them is strictly college and later on in elderly life. But these years in between, 25s, to the mid-40s, late-40s, oh no, they need their nice white bread white man to take care of them. Making a few million a year, lives to live in Hoboken, New Jersey, in a condo that's not that big.
Don't get me wrong. There will always be any ethnicity who might be a person who doesn't want to do shit, don't want nobody to tell them how to do shit, don't want nobody to point out what they're doing wrong and that they need to start doing this so they can get right.
Uh-huh.
Don't do shit. Want to find somebody else that don't want to do shit. And sometimes when you're with a person that doesn't want to do shit, that just likes the bare minimum, you feel less pressure in life to do what you need to do. So they make you feel comfortable in the shit that you're not doing. And there are relationships like that. For instance, there's no hoarders in here. I feel like people who are hoarders who are in relationships blow my mind. People who are like my 600-pound life and they are married or they got boyfriends or they got girlfriends, I'm just like, how?
Because those are the enablers.
Right. So the level of being with somebody who doesn't push you, who doesn't want to see you get better than them, that's a whole nother type of enabling that those people sometimes end up in the longest relationships, not because they're great, but because it's quiet here. There's nobody pushing me to do something I need to do that I don't want to do. And they're not going to call me out on my shit because they got shit. And I'm not going to call them out on their shit because I don't want them to point the finger at me or my shit. So we just in here.
That's true.
So that's, I don't look at other people's relationships like, damn, I want that. Because I don't know what they not doing that they need to do. I don't know why they're comfortable in the relationship that they're comfortable in. And I don't know if that's a relationship of complacency or is that a relationship of two people really sticking it through and being their best together because they were good separately.
Yeah.
I don't know shit about it. And I don't like to talk about relationships where I'm not even in your tax bracket. That's a different, you dealing with different obstacles that I ain't got shit to do with.
There's a whole bunch of people out here who love doing that shit.
Listen, I don't understand it. My number three would be we respect the goals we have. So if I'm somebody that's goal-oriented and I meet somebody and I start to learn things about them and they got their separate goals, that's great. But if I was talking to somebody and they had no goals and they're just like, I just want to go to work and I want to come home and I want to, you know, drink beer and I want to go see my family and play cards. Now I want to go training and then on Monday I'm going to do the same shit. I'm going to go to work, I'm going to come home and watch TV, go to bed and we chill. I'm not saying you're not a good person, but I know I'm not the person for you.
That sounds like you dating Kevin Durant.
I know, like, I'm not built for a mundane life. I'm not cut out for somebody who just wants to have a job. That's it.
And that's crazy because that's definitely Kevin Durant. All I want to do is hoop. I don't care about how we get there. I ain't really worried about winning. I just want to come in and I want to hoop. Don't ask me to lead. Don't ask me to do anything extra. Just ask me to hoop. And I'm like, wow. I mean, I get it. I get it because when you see it's brought out a lot more on that Roll of Gold or whatever in on Netflix where he explains why he's like that. But it's still just like you said, you're just gonna have a mundane person.
And you got who that's good enough for.
Now, with him, it's different because he's super rich. So even if he's not doing nothing entertaining, you could do some of that money and entertain yourself. You know what I mean? But if that's how somebody regular is acting,
That's kind of, I think, would be irritating. You know, let's say I was married to somebody and they're very well off and we have kids and all they want to do is this one thing. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to come on no trips. They don't want to go on no adventures. I'm in a marriage, but I'm single in a marriage doing single shit with my kids.
Uh-huh.
And that gets boring. So you have to really be honest with yourself of who am I marrying? Who am I getting in a relationship with? What do they want to do? How do they engage with their kids? Do they want to go do stuff? Do they like traveling? No, they just want to stay home. You don't, I think it's very important that people really assess like their relationships and know what they want, because you don't want to be in a relationship or a marriage where you're leaving room for someone to put somebody in.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to have a person that I go out and do shit with because my husband's too busy.
Yeah. your mate's supposed to be your partner in that stuff.
Yeah, and I'm not saying you got to come everywhere. I want to go all the time, but to just stick with that one thing that you want to do and you don't engage. Like, to me, I think my dad was like that. My dad was very much, I wake up at the same time every day. I wear a suit. I polish my shoes the night before. I count my money. I eat the breakfast that my wife made for me. I go in my car and I drive to the shop. I open the shop. I cut some hair. I go gamble. I go check on my properties. I come home before 7 and I wake up and I go do it again. There was no engagement in what was going on in the house. I've never seen that man wash. I've never seen that man pick up a broom. I've never seen that man ask me shit about school, nothing. Like, there was no engagement. It was just like a person in the house that just handles shit. The person that's involved is your mom. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, you got to be honest about the people that you marry and what your life is about to look like on the inside, because on the outside of that house, it looked like, oh, that's a good house. You know, the parents is married, there's kids there, they look happy, blah, 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 blah. But it's a lot of people just a figure in their house.
Yep.
So
it's a figure in the house.
Got 2 messages.
Yo, yo, yo. Big up, She Gets It. Big up, Dungeon. I hope you're having a good Friday. I'm here just to chime in. Also, She, if you're fiance, boyfriend, man isn't your biggest cheerleader for your goals, then they just need to go, and they're not there for you. They're there because they are either A, B, or C. In this world, A means you are you, B means that you look after someone else and try to be someone else, and C is that you're just literally looked over and no one gives a fuck about you, and also you don't care about yourself. And you've got to be an A in this world, 100%. And also an A to the loved ones that you love. Be a cheerleader. Big love.
Thank you. Yeah, that makes sense. You got to be able to push your person in. Your person has to be able to push you. I think that's what keeps it interesting.
That's true. Hey, She Gets It podcast. Hey, Dungeon. Shout out to the panel. Shout out to the audience.
What up, what up?
Let's see what else we got. My number 4. Our family structure values make sense. Kind of what I just said.
Uh-huh.
Don't need to elaborate. But I do question people who are like the 6th baby mother or the 6th baby father to the woman.
Okay. Or the man.
Or the man. And that's if they were never married before, because did you not ever question, maybe this person does not want to stick with the people he has kids with, or she doesn't want to work out things, or what was the reason why she didn't try to work out X, Y, and Z? Like, you have to really look at people in situations and really ask yourself, do I want to add to this? I think that's something not enough people do. And it has nothing to do with how much money you make, too, because there's a lot of wealthy people who do that dumb shit. My number 5 is, we both had different experiences relationship-wise, and you're ready to be honest and healthy about your next relationship. I think a lot of people don't take enough breaks by themselves between relationships, and maybe you might like the comfort of having somebody around or being in a relationship, and you think there's nothing wrong with you, or you think there's nothing that you have to work on. I don't want to be with somebody who thinks there's nothing they have to work on.
If we could just get more people who literally refuse to date people who have not gotten their shit together between, like, you should be, if they followed our instructions and asked the right questions, you would know if somebody had worked on themselves between previous relationships and whether or not you should be investing your time in this person. Like, I know how to ask that. And if they're not comfortable answering it, that's the red flag to let you know they're not.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know what? Have you handled, you know, your traumas from your previous relationship or in life in general? Are you in any form of therapy? Not to say you have to be in therapy, but just being like, you know, just hearing the answer to be like, you know, how do you handle anything that you have going on mentally that stresses you out, stuff like that, as opposed to it just being like you said, oh, I'm good. Mm-hmm. Because those old ways and those days are over. You know, we missed out on a lot and raised a lot of unhealthy and unstable mental people up now because, you know, we were just back in the day like, oh, you know, just suppress all that. Go to work. Shut up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't ask any questions. Don't ask why. Let people mistreat you and shut up. Don't cry. Don't be emotional. Don't think about anything. Just, you know, you go get this money and shut up. And you're like, nah, we're not doing that no more. So if you're still with somebody who's still acting like that, it just goes from relationship, shutting up and out here having all this trauma, don't be their next victim. Do not. So they want you. That's why they can't stand being alone. They can't stand having to put in the work. So they want to just put all that on you.
I think a clear sign that somebody does not have enough with you is if you ask them about their experiences and then it becomes a they, or never I didn't do this, or I should have done this, or I wasn't by this. You know, I saw the way that I was doing being wrong. Like, if there's no ownership in the conversation, like, that's all you need right there.
There you go, exactly. When like you said, everything is everybody else. They're like, nah, come on now. Come on now.
Yeah. It's like when you listen to your children argue if you have kids and they come to you and you'd be like, what happened? They did it. And then she did it. He did. Like, okay, what did you do?
Nothing. I'm the perfect child.
Right. It's the mature. Like, what did you do? So, is that my number six is the connection is real and genuinely wanted.
Okay.
Now, what I've noticed is a lot of people will say, I don't want to be in a relationship if the person doesn't need me.
I feel like that's mostly on the female side, but go ahead.
And then some people will say, I'd rather be in a relationship where I'm wanted over being needed. Now, there's plenty of angles you can look at this. Personally, I would respect and value a relationship more if I'm wanted in that relationship over needed in that relationship. And when I think needed, I think needed like dependency. Like, yeah. If you're not here with me, I can't do this, so I need you here. When people are doing things in a relationship because they need you, it's rarely that it's coming from a genuine position. Yeah. It's coming from a position of a deficit. I need to do these things so I can survive because this person kind of dictates how I move, what I can and can't do financially, how I show up with other people, how people treat me because I'm married to this person, and I don't have to adult 100%. Right?
I want to throw in that and never be happy to date somebody that needs you for financial reasons in any way, shape, or format. If they need you to budget for them and all that stuff because you're not willing to learn by the age we're at now, which is 30s and 40s, you don't. That's not a relationship you want to be in because that person will ruin your shit. It's now, if they need help like learning and they're actively like, hey, how do you budget as well as you do? How do I get my credit right? And they're going to do it by themselves without putting you in the hole, that's different. But if somebody just needs you because they refuse to learn how to budget or spend their funds and you know, make money and save, you don't want to be with that person because they're going to bring you down. Bring down the kingdom that you all thought you were building.
And earlier, not anymore, but I want to say last year and the year before that, there was a lot of conversation on this app with men talking to other men about how, you know, if they get with a woman and they marry her or they're together, then she's not working. You know what I'm saying? She's going to be at the house. She's going to do this and this and this. And if she needs whatever, I'll do it.
But niggas are making $15 an hour. That's a lot. Can't afford it.
This is my thing with that. Most males, if they automatically say, you're not working, you're going to be home, you're going to do this, and if you need anything, I'll do it. That's also coming from an insecure space. Because I feel, and I've seen it, where if a man eat shit, move around, you're most likely doing the things that you're doing in that relationship because that's how you survive. Uh-huh. It's not from, I want to do this for this man. I take care of this man genuinely and also do the things that I want to do. And I also have a say if I don't want to work, I can be home. That's different. But if you're automatically saying you're not working anymore, you're just going to be in the house and you're going to do these things and we're just going to have kids and that's it. That's coming from a position of she's not going anywhere because how is she going to be able to do X, Y, and Z? I feel secure now because she's locked in. To me, a person wanting to be with you is self-sufficient before you, can do for themselves before you. If you got sick, they wouldn't know how to run a household. Y'all working as a team. Y'all come back, it's even better. And you'll trust that person to raise your kids. You'll trust that person around your parents. You'll trust that person to financially do what needs to be done in your absence. But to me, if you're still carrying a whole household on your back out of this is how I feel secure, and there's all dependent on you, I feel like you're putting yourself in a hole.
Yeah, that's true. And also, why should anybody come into any situation and automatically be granted that type of situation? You were working before you met me, right?
Right.
So why should I stop you from doing that? Now, after we get together, start building our shit, and also figure out how much or who's the breadwinner and how much money's coming in this house and all that, and I decide as the head of household, all right, I don't want you to work anymore. This is a new game plan. Then we can take it from there. But I know just from experience that if you're going to have somebody sit down and not work, well, young brother, because you're going to be the one to say that, you need to be making at minimum two decent-ass salaries, which is anywhere from, well, from what women would say, $200,000 a year. And from what men would know, you need to be at least at $150,000, $160,000 a year, depending on where you live.
Yeah.
To be able to tell that woman to have a seat and just worry about these kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But since people don't understand money, and all they understand is Instagram and YouTube, and not YouTube, TikTok and flip-flops, they think that you know, oh, all I do is say these things, and my man who is the intern to a mechanic that makes $10 an hour, who's likes to say manly things like my wife don't work, will say that, and then we'll be broke because I'm not working and he's bringing home $300 a week, and we can't afford anything. And I stupidly am not telling his dumb ass shut the fuck up and let me get a job because, you know, I don't want to hurt his feelings. Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of y'all out here just living like that.
And I'm not saying you can't be married to someone and one of you guys don't work and the other one works. Maybe what you do when you don't work is more of an asset for your kids. If I was married to somebody and I did not work, there's no reason why my kids are always at daycare or at school all the time and they're not doing anything or they're not in any activity.
Oh, if you don't work, our kids don't need daycare.
Oh, period. I don't understand that.
You are daycare. Hold on. You're not going to not work and not do nothing. We're not doing that now. Like, you still have a job. It's in the house with the children.
Right.
What are we talking about? You think I'm gonna spend $500, $600, or $1,200? I don't know what it is. I don't have any kids. $12,000 a week on daycare when there's a whole woman living in my house that ain't doing nothing? That is daycare. Fuck, it's we talking crazy. About?
It's crazy. Yeah, there's certain factors where that works, but it should always be a choice that this person wants to do these things, not you delegating how this person's life is going to be because that's how you. Relationship.
Of course not.
But yeah. My number 7, I'm going to play these messages after this one. We want to see another win. And the mindset is my and not I. You know what I'm saying? And my means we. You know what I'm saying? Because If we're in one household and I make a choice that financially puts me in a hole, that means I'm less of a helper to you. Or if we're in a household and one of our kids get in an accident and it costs us money and we get sued, then that's all of our problems.
That's facts.
So for me, when you're moving and you're making thoughts when it comes to like your future, how your lifestyle is going to be, before you make certain decisions, before you do certain things, you got to kind of play out, okay, yes, this person is here if I need help, but I'm not going to purposely do something stupid where I'm in a hole. This person is in a hole because they got to help me.
Uh-huh.
I think some people make moves that are selfish and they just feel like, oh, if I can't do it, then just do it. Where they can just put this on their card, where they can just give me this if I mess this one up. And I think sometimes when you overgive to people or you just feel like, oh, this is my wife and they should have the best just because. Sometimes if you don't let a person earn something, they automatically feel entitled to things.
Uh-huh.
They automatically feel entitled to you fixing the shit that they do.
Uh-huh.
So it's nothing wrong with like giving in any relationship, but you have to have like a certain boundary for it and knowing to pull back a little bit. And I think that creates certain balance in a relationship. And if a person understands that mindset, to me, that reminds me, okay, why am I picking this person over this situation? Or why is this better for me to be in? Or does this person challenge me? Like, those are the things that I might think about to remind myself, like, am I on the right track? Is this person supposed to be part of this plan or not?
Yeah.
Some people don't think that far. I do.
As you should, if you want to have a healthy, successful future relationship.
It has to make sense. All right, I'm going to play these.
Somebody was having a similar conversation to this earlier, I think it was today. They were saying that a lot of people are in marriages, like unhappy marriages, and sometimes the man isn't there for the children as much as he should be, even though they're married and live in the same household. One example was a woman saying that sometimes men don't keep their word to the children. And so then, like, you know, they look at the dad as like unreliable or something, you know. But also the spouse, I mean, if your wife cannot depend on you as a husband, then like, what are you really doing? You know, why are you married in the first place?
That's a thing, but I also think just like women, sometimes some men married or have a wife or have a kid, like that thing on that checkoff list as a man. You know, you're not really going to have these things. Or in life, when you get old enough, all your friends have these things, so you feel like I should have a kid by now, or I should be married by now, but I'm still single, and you start to feel a way. But I feel like that's a dangerous thing to do, because you might have a personality where you know you don't want to be married. You might have a personality where you know you don't want kids, to the point of how kids need you to show up in their life. But you just have it as like the shoes in your closet, or look at my watch. You know what I'm saying? It's like something to add on to her pictures and shit, but you're really not involved. This is not the life you actually wanted. And there's a lot of people living like that, where you assume this person has it all. Look at their house, look at their cars. They go on trips, they take family pictures, but mentally, they're not involved. Emotionally, they're not connected. It just looks like it worked. And there's a lot of relationships that look like they work. Women do it too. Women might feel like, okay, this man wants a kid, I'm going to give him a kid. This man wants to be married, I'm going to be married to him. But mentally, she's never been in that marriage. There's a lot of women that don't like their kids.
It's because none of that can be shown on Instagram. All of that stuff. I really wish y'all would just take Will and Jada Pinkett Smith as examples of what picking the wrong partner would do to you. You know what I mean? Like, now we get to there just running through the motions at this point, because neither of them truly loves each other. Well, maybe he loves her. She definitely don't know that nigga. But, like, I'm looking at it, think about the way he talks about her and admires her, right? That man is never at home. Because he's doing everything in his power to be away from her. But, what you talking about my wife now? And so I'll keep my white name. I'll smack you like you Chris Rock. You know what I mean? Like, but if you're that so deep, nigga, you got to be close to a billionaire at this point. You can slow your life down and be spending all that time with her. She should be on your sets. She should be. I can't fake, Shan, I can't fake love nobody that hard. That's crazy.
I can't
think about it. Think about how hard this nigga is fake loving her. Real loving her, and she's fake loving back. These two are not an in-love couple. This is a couple that's doing a business practice. And this man hasn't done the form of therapy that his therapist is not allowed to bring up, probably because he told him not to. So he'd be like, why are you still in your marriage with Jada? Because any real therapist would be like, listen, you're not going to tell me. You're going to pay me a lot. But if you really want to get healed, there's something we got to talk about. And we know what it is. And this goes back to what's going on with what happened with your upbringing with your mother. But we got to talk about it so you get out of this. You and Jada at this point could easily divorce and do exactly what you're doing. And she go be happy, and you can find somebody and be happy. You two are sticking together for stupid-ass reasons that only you two created. that are continuing to make both of you miserable? How do we not know Alex Alcina wasn't Jada's soulmate? I know most of us think it's Tupac.
Because he like boys.
Exactly. There you go.
I remember when he was trying to convince everybody he's not like that. Sir, that is not just your friend.
Like, come on, man. Come on. Will, get out, get the therapy you need, homie. Get out of that relationship. That's crazy. And I'm sure his real friends tell him, like, listen, man, that girl don't love you. But he like, that's my wife. We've been together 20, 30 plus years. She holds down the house while I run around doing what I want to do. And all I do is run around doing what I want to. Why is that? Nobody ever asked me that. Don't ask me shit if I slap fire at you like Chris Rock. Mm-hmm. See how you get when you get in relationships you ain't supposed to be in?
But you know, that's another thing too. A lot of people don't see it that way, but a lot of women calculate it that way. Marrying a man that they don't like and then calculating how long they really got to be around them for real.
If you can't do math, you shouldn't be trying that shit.
Okay.
Because and most of y'all can't do math.
During that pandemic when everybody had to be at home, the divorces was up. It was like, nah, I can't be in here locked in with you. This ain't it. What's my number 8? You always reconnect if you feel disconnected and y'all have common agreements, not disagreements, common agreements. And I think if you're with the right person, you know when you disconnected. You know when shit don't feel right. And you know what the vibe is when shit does feel right. And if you find yourself being disconnected and you don't want to fix it, and the other person don't want to fix it, I feel like that's a clear sign that that's done with.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and that's something that, you know, when people be ask you, you know, what happened? They'd be like, I don't know, you're lying. Like, you know what happened. You know when was the last time you felt good about this person. If you can't recall the last time this person smiled around you or laughed around you or when they came in the room, you didn't bother to look in their direction. You just figured out a way for you to go into another room. And I think people should just be a bit more honest with themselves about if they're holding somebody hostage that really been out of a relationship for the last few months, a couple of years. You know, a lot of people are stalling because they don't know what the next level of their life is going to look like. Yeah. I'm just the type of person where I don't want nobody to stall with me. You know, so if you're stalling, waiting for the next foot to drop, Let me help you get up out of this so you're comfortable. So those things make me remind myself, okay, yes, I'm with the right person because we don't like what this feels like. Or I'm with the right person because they can tell me something needs to be corrected or a conversation needs to be had so we can move on. Next thing is, if you can honestly ask this person indirectly and directly, am I still the person that you want?
That's rough.
A lot of people don't have the balls to ask that.
You better get them.
I would rather ask it. And if a person is unsure, know that they're unsure. And if they're ready to tell me why they're unsure, be able to listen and not try to defend why they're unsure, because that's their feelings, it's not mine. And if they ask me that and I can't honestly answer it, then at least they're checking in to know, like, okay, it's either I got to step up and do X, Y, and Z, or is this even something that's fixable at this point? And those are the things that help you refocus if you need to refocus. Stop wasting your efforts because a lot of people might find themselves in a breakup or a divorce, and they're angry about the fact that, not the divorce or the breakup, but they're angry about how long you knew you didn't want to be in this and you didn't say anything.
Yeah.
How many months I went with you to therapy and you were acting like you wanted to fix this, knowing damn well you didn't want to fix it.
Knowing damn well.
Like, that to me would piss me off. Like, I don't like people wasting my time. And so because I don't like people wasting my time, I don't waste people's time. So if I don't want to do something, I'd rather tell you I don't want to do it. If I don't want to go somewhere, I'd rather tell you I don't want to go. If I don't like, I'd rather tell you straight up, I don't like that person. I don't want to kiki with that person. I don't want to go to dinner with that person. I'm good.
Let the church say amen.
Okay. And another thing that will always let you know why you chose that person in the first place is, do they continuously date you? If that person, y'all don't go nowhere, y'all don't do nothing fun together, you go around your friends so much without that person that they're just like, are y'all still together?
Yeah, right.
That's a problem. If you talk about everything else under the sun except the relationship you're in sometimes, or the marriage you're in sometimes, I feel like that's a sign too. And sometimes your friends don't want to be the people to bring it up. They're waiting for you to have that one time where you want to vent or to talk. But they notice that you're talking about this person less, or you're not as happy, or you're frustrated a lot more. Like, your friends will know, what's going on? So I'm just like, your people, if they're your people, they will check up on you. And so if you're unhappy in the things that you're doing, your people will see. Your mom will see. Your father will see. Your siblings are going to see it. Your kids going to pick up on that tension. So just be honest with yourself. And I think if you're with the right person, you're not scared to be direct with that person about whatever your mind. We got one message and then I'll close it out. But those are, okay.
I hear that good shit.
I just need to intervene on that last conversation. She has said, what is a female's, like, what you say, like, problem with, that, like, if they take care of the business and stuff, like, are you saying, like, it has to be, like, if I didn't say that from the start or something? Like, I don't understand. Just explain that a little bit more.
What do you mean, if a man is taking care of everything, why would a woman not respect him?
Well, essentially, I think that's what he meant.
Because the respect was never there in the first place. It's a lot of women that go after men they know they will never respect, because they feel like that man doesn't look like he's good enough to really pull me. So him being with me would be a benefit to his character.
And that man should punish you unknowingly in every way possible. By being broke, not satisfying you sexually, like, cheating on you profusely. Like, it should be every time you try and hit a man intentionally that you think you can boss around because, you know, they're not on your level or because they don't look that good, you should be punished by the universe and karma. And hopefully you will be.
It's never like that, because women who know they really don't respect the man how they need to, and they go after a man who already lived that life, and that's not their aim no more. They already had the women. That's not their aim anymore. They probably already had their first marriage and a divorce, They're good. They know what that's like. Their kids are well taken care of and a little bit grown. All they want to do is run their business and travel and chill. Uh-huh. And don't keep your eyes open. You might be blinded by a pretty face. You might be blinded by a nice body. You might be blinded by a young woman that just wants to be treated nice. And you might have the best intentions to be a gentleman to that woman, and you're not worried about you not being able to have it because you have it. But you still have this illusion, like, because I have these things and my life is easy and I treat this woman with respect, she's gonna give me that back. No.
Not at all.
And that's where those men fuck up. And you have to have a certain boundary to where if you peep it and you call it out and it is what it is, you have a thick enough boundary where you don't allow it. And most men, what money you have, how established you are, what businesses you have, they can't be the ones to be like, nah, we need a breakup. I'm not doing this. Because you know where you are in life, all of your friends and your circle and your age is telling you, don't fuck with this woman because she's going to play with you. And you over here defending this woman to the T, and you find out that she's playing in your face. And okay. So you would stay face with your people than let them be right. And that's the problem right there. And that's why most men do it, because they don't want to fall into the I told you so. Like, today, I just was like, there's no way people don't know people are cheating. You just don't give a fuck right now.
Yeah, you don't. That's just what it is.
Like, I could always tell when the energy with who I'm with. I could always tell when I'm purposely not wanting to talk about shit. I could always tell when I don't want to fix it. I could always tell when they don't they don't look at me the same, or they don't want this as much as I do. And I would rather call it out than drag it out.
Ooh, look at that. Call it out and drag it out.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's a choice. But yeah. That's it.
That's life. Life. Lives. Life. Lives.
That's a good-ass movie, by the way.
Yeah, they better not redo that movie. Well, they said they tried to. Mark, they said something to Martin about they were trying to redo. Do a second part.
I hope not.
They said they're going to do the part in between that we didn't see before they became old ass men.
Before they got locked?
Mm hmm. Oh. Well. Mm hmm. But somebody got to write that script. And then Eddie and Martin got a little sign on to it.
Mm-hmm. They better do it before Martin gets sicker.
Martin is not sick.
Martin's not sick.
He just looks sick. you know how black men get it. What Martin? What, almost 60?
I don't know.
You know how black men get it at that age. We start looking funny. And life is out. That man. Even in the doctors and all that, you know, if he was really going bad, it would have came out by now. I don't think he's going bad. Hey, I think he just started to look like an old black man.
I'm not playing this message because you're ignorant.
Say it again.
This message he left, I'm not playing it because he's ignorant.
Oh, he's ignorant?
You can read it. I can read it. But, yeah, this is episode 2 of the Real Relationship Rapport. I'll probably have this posted by Monday. Next week is my office week. I'm not looking forward to it. But it's a short week, so I can do it. I can thug it out. The next episode we'll probably do on the 4th. I did this episode back to back because next week I won't be here. So we got one more week left of March, and then it's April, even though March feels like fucking January.
Well, down there it does. Up here, we've been getting pretty decent weather, I'm not going to lie.
Morning.
But the government has set the country up as such where everywhere except the New York tri-state area gets punished with bad weather. So, you know. Yes, we get punished with bad finances by living so close to New York and everything is sky high. But we don't get tornadoes and hurricanes. Smaller quakes from now and every now and then. But y'all get all everything else.
That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Betty, who? Y'all enjoy y'all weekend.
Enjoy the weekend, and we will catch y'all on the side of the flip.
Bye. See you in April.
Peace.